Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Saints, welcome to Thursday evening Bible study. You know, as I listened to that previous song, it talked about praise. You can sing it. You can shout it. You can cry it. You can even dance it. Wave your hands. Whatever it is you want to do, Jesus loves our praise. And he is worthy of it all. We're so grateful that we are able to give him praise and honor, and that we are still here in the land of the living, striving to make heaven our home. We want to launch from John chapter 18, verse 37. That's John chapter 18, verse 37. And it says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Our subject is our only true cause. Our only true cause. Jesus came into the world to bear witness to the truth. We know this was when Jesus was captured, betrayed, denied, and now stands before Pilate to be tried and sentenced and put to death. But that didn't stop Jesus from bearing witness and telling the truth. If you remember in Hosea, it said God's people were being destroyed for the lack of truth, among the lack of mercy and knowledge as well. You can't have one or lack one without having or lacking the other. So Jesus came to give us what we lack. Jesus came to close the gap between us and the Father. Because of Jesus, we were put on the right path. That is why Jesus is the righteousness of God. That is why we can be the righteousness of God. That is why he is the way, the truth, and the life. That is why he can say he is the light of the world. Jesus said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Let's look at what Jesus did for us while he was here and before he left. Let's go to John 17, starting at verse 1. John 17, starting at verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This speaks not of his divine power as God, but of his power as a mediator. Christ as mediator has the power to give laws to all mankind, and the power to execute the laws that he hath given. 1 Corinthians 15 and 25 said, For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Hebrews 2 and 8 says, Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. There is indeed a dominion over the works of God and over the inferior creation. But the control is not universal. A large part of the animal creation rebels and is brought into subjection only with difficulty. Have you noticed with man? He learns to control animals and other things by breaking or controlling their natural spirit, by punishing the flesh. when we are supposed to have control over the flesh by the Spirit. Instead of beating a body that houses the Spirit, we should cast out the Spirit in the house by his word. David said in Psalms 8 and 6, "Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." We have the same power and control that Jesus had, not by force of the body, but by the speaking of the word. But this comes from knowing your Creator and Savior. John 17 and 3, going to verse 3 of John 17. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Know this, there is something that comes before living forever. Just like before you can live, you must be born. In order to live again, you must be born again. In order to get a second chance, there must be a first. Jesus is our second chance. Our second chance to live. Our second chance to have what was intended for us in the beginning. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that more abundantly." Now in this verse, it says, life eternal is not to know the only, is to know the only true God and his son, Jesus Christ, who he sent. Think about this for a moment. In order to know God, and God being your father, you must believe in the son and believe that the son, that God sent the son. The only way you can then know them both is to learn of the only one he sent. Again, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus is our example. He is the door. He is the shepherd. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the first. He is the last. He's our El Shaddai, the Messiah, the great I am. The only way you will know how Father thinks is through what Jesus teaches. You can't know Father God through the philosophy and teachings of other men. If you are not being taught the resurrection, you are going in the wrong direction. Jesus didn't come to teach you how to draw men. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me." Jesus didn't say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of other men." He said, "Learn of me." Let's go to John 10, starting at verse 1. John 10, starting at verse 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. One will steal behind your back. The other will take it in your face." There are too many people with too many different ways when there is only one way. You can go to a different church. You can praise him in a different way. But there is only one God who is the Father, one Son who is Jesus, and one Holy Spirit that testifies of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Verse 2 says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Jesus will come to your front door, not your back door or the side door. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." We hear and know his voice because we know his word. If the word is being taught, you will know when it is a stranger and when it's Jesus. Mm-hmm. Verse 4 said, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Jesus, again, is our example. Anything he wants us to do, he has done it first. And he will not ask you to do anything wrong or against what the word of God says. Verse 5 says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. If a person is trying to teach you from another book, or other than the words from the word of God, beware. Another book may explain something in the word, but the word will not be secondary to explain a book. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Just in case you missed it. Verse 7 says, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Saints, if any man or angel comes to you with any other gospel than that which you hear, let him be accursed. Verse 8 says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Again, Jesus says in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Those that hear and know his voice will continue to go in and out, that is, continue in the word of God to be saved. Look at verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The enemy wants to, one, steal the life and understanding you have. Two, he wants to kill the relationship you have with the Father. And three, he wants to destroy the soul. Think about this. If he can steal your understanding, and that is why when the word falls by the wayside, the wicked one, which is the devil, takes it away, that the word out of your heart, lest you be saved. If enough of what you receive is taken away, this will cause a rift or the relationship will be killed with you and the Father. This sets up for Satan to destroy your soul, because the next thing, he's got you. Look at what Jesus says in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. Again, Jesus is warning us what is to come from those that are trying to merchandise you. They want your money and your attendance, that they may draw more money and more people. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. If you are not being fed knowledge with understanding, if you have a pastor always asking and never giving, if they say, do as I say and not as I do, run and don't drink the Kool-Aid. Verse 14 said, I am the good shepherd. Y'all hear that? Jesus is continuing to tell you who the good shepherd is. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, Even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen. Jesus sacrificed his life for us. And those he has placed over us should be willing to sacrifice time for God's children. I'd like to close with these last two verses, John 17:9 and 17:20. John 17:9 says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Jesus is saying, I am interceding for my disciples. I have taught them. I have gone before them. I have shown them who you are. And I have asked that you make them one as we are one. Sanctify them through thy truth, for you are truth. But that's not all. Look at verse 20. Jesus says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Referring to the disciples. I pray for all that will come after them, because what I have taught them, they will teach others. Just as they have heard my voice, others will hear and follow. With that, saints, my time is up, and I thank you for yours.